We're going to start today with a conversation with Fred Gillen, who's one of the founders of PlanOn Group. And PlanOn is a Dutch company that has scaled very substantially. You'll learn more about this company in a moment as we talk with Fred. Fred, welcome to the show. We are delighted to have you here and showcase your wonderful journey in this program.
Well, thank you very much, Shramana, for inviting me, and it is really a pleasure to participate.
So, Fred, let's start by you're telling our audience a bit about PlanOn and your business, and what do you do, how do you do what you do, so that they have some context.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do that, and please stop me if I'm talking too long, because we are very enthusiastic about our business, of course. Well, but PlanOn is a software company. It develops, it sells, implements, and supports software. And it is software in the area of real estate and facility management. So it has to do with buildings, spaces in buildings, assets that are in the buildings, and of course also people that are using the buildings. Just to give a little bit of an idea of what is in our industry important. We have customers that use our system to for portfolio management, for the lease management, all the lease agreements. They also use it for strategic space planning, so to know when and how much to expand or to reduce available space. Other customers are more focused on the whole maintenance part of buildings. And the daily operations. So with our system, you can plan maintenance, execute maintenance by creating tons of work orders, allocating resources. And when a lot of companies use, of course, also external service providers, and with our system, you can manage those contracts, the SLA levels that are agreed, and things like that. Other part is getting more and more traction and more important is the whole energy management of companies and the weight, the quantities of waste. And you can, with the system, you can start all kinds of projects and monitor whether the targeted goals are being achieved. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, you know, about fixed and flexible workplaces, allocation, moves, reservation. Everything that has to do with that, and the to know and to optimize the actual use of available spaces. Well, and then I think last but not least, it is all the processes and interactions between people and the building. You have owners, operators, users of the building, and at the end, I think what the system makes it special, and that's how to end this short introduction, is that it is, at the end, you know, it's all a fully integrated one system, one database, so you have one source of truth for all relevant information relating to what I said, the buildings, the spaces, the assets, and the people.
Okay. And Fred, you have bootstrapped this company to $100 million. How did you do it? And you did it from the Netherlands. So tell us a little bit about the beginning of the company. How did you manage to scale it to this extent without any external financing?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, and the good news is, it always goes step by step and dollar by dollar. It's but I think what has been crucial, my brother started it initially. He was a building engineer, and he created his own consultancy firm. And he was involved and he was engaged with a lot of customers that needed advice on their maintenance of their buildings. At a certain moment, those customers came in and asked, well, whether he had also some software tools that could automate certain processes and could make things easier, and that the production of certain processes was going to be much much more fluid. I think so that we and what he did was reinvesting the proceeds, the profits of his consultancy firm, to reinvest that in developing the software. In that respect, what was also very important in that growth, when you say, when you are at a certain point and you say, I want to reach 10 million, it will never happen. It is always step by step. So what we did was set 3-year goals and annual plans.
Fred, I think I'm going to cut in for a moment to just highlight what is replicable for, you know, what people can learn from your journey. You have followed a bootstrapping using services strategy. You, as you pointed out, your brother consulted for a while on these relevant projects and started, you know, offering advice on facilities management and so forth, using his building engineering background. And then that kind of morphed into some software tools and that were sold, that were built using those consulting revenues, essentially. So it's kind of like a bootstrapping using services methodology that has allowed you to build the products and sell the products early on, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right on the point. And also in his contacts with those customers, he got a very good insight in what they were expecting software tool that could support their activities. And, you know, many times we described it as that the software was more or less co-developed together with a couple of important and very proactive customers.
Which is one of the great benefits of doing a bootstrapping using services strategy is you have such customer intimacy that you can really, you know, develop something in collaboration with customers.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Go on.
Yeah, so what I would like to add there, what you are not seen as a, you know, a salesman that comes in to sell some software. You are in there, you have that relationship, you are engaged, you understand fully the business, and then you can make the software and develop it and design it in that is immediately addressing the needs of the customer.
So, Fred, what has been your key?
Sorry?
What has been your key customer acquisition strategy? So, of course, once you're in there with the consulting customers and so forth, you were able to build the product, but then you've also scaled phenomenally from those early days to now, and you have $100 million in revenue and a lot of customers. What has worked for you in terms of acquiring those customers?
Yeah. Well, I would it is immediately in following up on what we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago. It is all, as I would say, it's look, listen, and learn. When you are engaged with your customers, you know what the problems are, the challenges are that they are confronted with. So what happened was, and that is that has been the core of our acquisition strategy, is that you become a thought leader, that you really mm-hmm. become an expert in the field. And mm-hmm. what Planon always did was going out, share the experience, be active on all kinds of platforms and in all kinds of organizations, whether it was, for example, like IFMA, but also a lot of smaller groups that were at that time existing in the Netherlands. And by being known, you become known in that part of the market and you have excellent references. The people, also the companies in the Netherlands, came very actively and more or less proactively to Planon instead of Planon having to go spend a lot of marketing money and go after those customers. That has been quite crucial in the early stage of the growth of Planon.
Mm. So basically, if I understood you, you went and presented at a lot of different trade associations that deal with your problem domain. And because of your domain knowledge, you were invited to talk about the problems and how to solve them, etc. And you developed a recognized thought leadership positioning, and people were reaching out to you when they encountered those problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And Planon is still continuing doing that. There is no single trade show or exhibition or conference in the world in our field where PlanOn is not available. We are not present and not presenting. We have always seen that as crucial to share that knowledge also in our software product itself. It is what we have the so-called accelerator, which is a sort of pre-configured way of our software representing all the best practices that we have seen over the last 30 years in all over the world at customers, you know, when implementing our software. Because we see that as one of the, to be that expert, to be seen as that, to that people come to you, that you are able to share that knowledge as really extremely important.
And that today in the days of, you know, internet and social media is, there are many ways of establishing that thought leadership position. One of the key ways to do that is through, you know, writing, whether it's blogging or writing in social media and so forth. We've done that very extensively as well, and it's a very effective strategy to establish that thought leadership position.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, additional opportunities there.
What about geographical expansion? I know you started in Europe, but you're now quite a global company. So tell us a little bit about your first initial moves of moving into North America, for instance, and any other interesting nuggets that you could discuss about global expansion.
Yeah, I have to say that we are a little bit lucky of coming from a very small country. You know, the Netherlands only has about 16 million people, and the market is relatively small. You know, from where PlanOn is established in the Netherlands, it's 20 miles east and you're in Germany, and you go 30 miles south and you're in Belgium, mm-hmm. and very quickly thereafter France. So it has, PlanOn got a very dominant position in the Netherlands, and I think that was one of the great decisions of my brother, that he understood that, you know, the software market is a global market, an international market, and he started very early to set up partnerships in the countries around the Netherlands, so starting in Belgium, Germany, and the UK. After certain years, more money was needed to grow those operations in those countries. Mostly the partner did not have that money, and that was always a good moment to acquire the partner and then to provide the financing ourselves. But that is how we did it.
You sell in other geographies through system integrators?
Very rarely. We do have some partners, some resellers, but in most countries we are selling ourselves where we have our own operations, and we have an international squad team that is picking up all the interesting opportunities of larger corporations in countries where we don't have our own company.
Okay. And North America, did you do anything special to move from Europe to North America?
Yes, we did something very special, actually. We failed in the beginning. We went over the first time to America. It was totally obvious that we had to be in America, being, still representing 40 to 45% of the global software market. So the first time we went here, we visited, people in the industry, and at the start we started very small by hiring two or three people. It took us a long time to really understand that didn't work in North America. I'm now myself here for a year and a half, and just to experience how big this country is giving you a whole different concept. And it took us some time. We were also very much focused on Europe in expanding in the other countries and to Asia. And so we did not have enough focus on the US. So after some 6 years, we did sell. We had a good product. The companies liked our product. And so we did grow our customer base, but it was clear that in order to also become the leader in this market here in North America, that we had to do something else. And that is what we decided in 2014 to really to come up with a comprehensive plan, and we decided to establish a dual headquarters strategy. So I moved here. Also, our head of global marketing is here in Boston. And we are now really doing the things in a different way. And well, to be honest, we are quite successful because we have huge growth rates at the moment.
But so you're at about $100 million in revenue. You're quite global. Where do you go from here? Do you want to keep running the business? Do you want to sell to private equity, raise money, and grow further? What are the... You have a lot of choices. How do you think of these choices? How do you evaluate these choices, and where do you want to go?
Yeah, all very good questions that are very important to answer in setting our strategy. I think the first of all it is we see still huge opportunity to grow in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Facility management, real estate management, and it's called an IWMS system, an integrated workplace management system. It is still relatively unknown to a lot of companies. You would be surprised, Swamana, to see how many large corporations and mid-sized corporations are still managing their real estate and facilities with some small tools or even with spreadsheets. It is really incredible that so we see still a huge opportunity for growth, and we see now, especially that started a couple of years ago, that large corporations really want to have one system for their entire global operation. That gives huge advantages, and we see a very high traction there. So first of all, that means that we will keep, we want to double our revenue in the next 4 to 5 years, and to be a dominant player in North America and Asia. And so we will continue our being an entrepreneur in that respect, and it gives us a lot of fun. It gives us a lot of satisfaction, and the journey is what is the beauty of it. And so we get offers from venture capitalists and other strategic buyers almost on a weekly basis. But then you have to think, what am I going to do? And at the end, it's a very simple decision. We prefer to manage a business and do that together with a lot of people instead of managing a bag of money.
Mm-hmm. So you're not interested in investment. Are you interested in going public?
Well, that's certainly one of the exit opportunities. My brother and I, we are now in our 50s, mid-50s, so we still have some great time to go. But also for the company, at a certain moment, it would probably be good for the longer term and to get either outside investors or to go for an IPO. That would be perfectly feasible. But as I said, we do not yet have a clear, defined exit strategy, because the next 4 to 7 years, we probably are still busy and focused on growing our business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. And what is it like to do this business out of Netherlands? You're probably one of the largest software companies out of the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, the Netherlands was a great country to start a business. It's small, so you very quickly know everybody that has a say in the industry. There are very well qualified and very well trained employees and people. The infrastructure with the Schiphol Airport is extremely well.
Great airport.
We are well connected. No, and it's well connected, and it's as I said, it is a small country. So the big advantage is, you're very quickly abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, also here to the East Coast of America, it takes about the same flight time whether I go to our office in Seattle or whether I fly to our headquarters in Nijmegen in the Netherlands.
And what does Planon do in the Netherlands to support the entrepreneurship ecosystem? Do you do anything?
Oh yes, absolutely. We have contacts with and programs with a lot of universities. So Planon, our software in Europe, is also used by over 250 universities all over Europe. And through those contacts, we also have set up certain programs. We have continuously interns from universities working in our office. They're doing their thesis, they're doing research. Also in some research projects, we are together with certain universities. And in that way, we try to further develop the science behind the real estate and facility management, and also to enthusiasmize a lot of people to get a training and education in this field and to start working in it.
So it's more in the context of your company that you do the outreach and with the ecosystem, not so much in encouraging new entrepreneurs in other domains. All right, very good.
So, yeah, you are often asked by through contacts. As I said, the Netherlands is small, whether it's through our banks or auditors or other partners in the Netherlands. We are often asked to have conversations like this to share our knowledge and experience, and that is very valuable. We were also involved shortly in the brother of our king, who is very active in this field as well, Constantijn. And
yeah, so I know Constantijn well.
Yeah. And so we love to do that. You know, we are passionate about being an entrepreneur. We are, I think, the fifth generation of entrepreneurs, and we like to stand in the middle of the community in order also again to look, listen, and learn from ourselves from what is going on.
Mm-hmm.